11.05. It's your platform.
Welcome to 11.05 this week. On the 11.05, I'm joined by Tina Koo-Marianis from Rat Drum, who's a regular panel guest on the Elaine Show on Virgin Media. Becky Harrison, you know, from Food at Fisher's in Newtown Mount Kennedy. She's also from Network Ireland. And Fianna Fáil councillor in roundabout the Tinnahealy area is John Mullen. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for coming in to us this morning.
Thank you.
Are we all keeping fine?
Yes.
Good. Tina, you're dying to say it, so you go off first. The Cartoon Festival. Come on, just get it out of your system.
Good,
now.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Yes, Rathdrum Cartoon Festival. It's on tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock in the square in Rathdrum. We've got so many different events on. On Sunday, we've got a big dog show with great prizes. We've got music, we've got jugglers, we've got a food market on the Sunday, and we're selling tickets for a family of four to Disney World, Florida, or 4,000 euros cash. They can be bought in various shops around the town, Centra and the Wise Owl, and or second prize, 1,000 euros or a weekend break, European city
well,
break.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yes.
You got it all in. Well
we
done.
We have it all in.
We want no mention of it
that.
For the rest of the morning.
No, none.
Okay, thanks very much. All right. We're going to discuss various topics this morning. Gender-neutral uniforms to be introduced in schools. Parent shaming online, particularly on Twitter, electric cars and Love Island. If you've got a comment, it's 087-77-11-103. You can call us on the landline as well, 0818-303-103. But let's start with gender-neutral uniforms. The debate about gender-neutral uniforms really kicked off last month when St. Bridget's National School in Greystones said they were adopting the policy from September. And now the Welsh school system is looking at adopting gender-neutral uniforms in all schools in Wales. What do you think? Well, we sent a reporter, Dan Kennedy, to the streets of Bray to see people's views.
I think it's up to the individuals to decide. I wouldn't have a firm ideas on it one way or the other. I think whatever is most suitable for the children. The best thing to take into account, and I think every case is individual. There is no right or wrong as such.
Yeah, I'm all for it, like, but for primary school kids, I think maybe like tracksuits have like the same uniform for all the kids, and then when they go to secondary school, the choice can be theirs.
Well, at my age, I suppose I would think boys should be boys and girls girls, but that's not the view of the younger people, so I suppose each to his own.
The lads want to wear skirts or whatever. Girls have been wearing trousers for years, so if they want to, let them do it. But not for lads to make a laugh and joke over to wear it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, some of the views around Bray. Becky Harrison, what do you think?
I think it's whatever you're having yourself, whatever you want to do. I think that I think it needs to be managed really carefully, because I think exactly as that last commenter said, there is scope for people who don't hold the same views as other people, that there's going to be, you know, slagging and whatever else in one way or the other. So I think it needs to be managed properly. But I do feel that it should be a one for all. Obviously, coming from a Network Ireland point of view, where from the women's side, we're looking at equality and all of those things. It's really important, and it has to work both ways. So I absolutely think that that's the way
it
is.
Do you think the laughing would stay beyond a day? I mean, the peer pressure would be, oh, that's yesterday's joke.
Get on with it. It's yesterday's news. That's certainly what you would hope. But I think with, you know, as with everything, ever thus it has been, that people have opinions that are different, and you know, that's they're going to express those opinions as well. So but I do think, I very much believe that it's up to the individual, and to have that option is really important. And I know that certainly from you know, we campaigned for years to allow girls wear trousers in the middle of winter rather than wearing the short skirt when they were freezing, and you know, I think that there are time and a place where different clothing is appropriate, and you know, the tracksuit is gender neutral anyway, so it's you know, it's important to do that. And I think it is absolutely down to the individual, and I think that the schools are fantastic to be able to facilitate that.
So individual rather than individual schools, or both?
Well, ultimately both, but I think that, and I think a uniform is a really practical thing. Not all schools have uniforms, and obviously when they don't have uniforms at all, it's, you know, that then there's pressures on children to wear the best clothes or the different,
indeed,
the trend. So I think that having a uniform is is beneficial in lots of cases. And I think for all members of the student population to be have access to all types of uniforms. I think the challenges are going to come in single sex schools. In mixed schools, it's going to be much easier. There is their uniforms are there already. In single sex schools, you know, that maybe there's a more of a challenge down the line there as well. And particularly if like in Wales, they're introducing it across the board. So it'd be interesting to see how it evolves.
Councillor John Mullen, what's your view?
Well, again, it's up to each school community to decide. Obviously, the school community is a mixture of parents and teachers, and obviously one Greystone school has made this decision. I just wonder a little bit, though, about it. I do think, gender-neutral uniforms, okay, tracksuit bottoms, trousers, absolutely, that makes common sense. I think school uniforms make common sense because, you know, they kind of give everybody a sense of being the same, particularly if they can be made affordable for every parent. But I do wonder, like, we all went to school. No matter what the school environment is, you know, the schoolyard is the schoolyard. I just wonder how well this is going to be managed in reality. We all have to have, you know, our period of growing up, and particularly at national school, you know, there's such amount of growing a child has to do there, and the schoolyard can be quite a cruel place. Kids can be quite cruel to each other.
But the issue is how the student identifies themselves as regards their gender.
And exactly. And
they might appear to be born in all intents and purposes a boy or something, and there's a woman or a girl inside that boy trying to get out.
And that particularly sensitive time, that particularly sensitive matter, where the parents and obviously the school community and the teachers have a responsibility to make sure that that is managed in the most sensitive manner possible. And also, there's the developmental stage. That's why I think one of the people on the street there commented that at secondary school, you know, there's probably a more adequate time for that to be addressed. But I think at national school level,
just too young.
I just think I'd worry about how it's managed. As Becky said, how is this going to, you know, when the break time happens and all the kids are out playing, the best will in the world, is there going to be bullying?
Yeah, what do you think, Tina?
I think, I'm like John, I think the playground's going to be a problem. The first woman to wear trousers was in 1851, and she was Elizabeth Smith Miller. She was a suffragette in the US. So women have been wearing trousers. Chanel made them very popular, but, you know, and fashionable. But I'm wearing trousers. Yes, if everybody wears trousers, but for if I had a child going into school, a little boy, and he wanted to wear a skirt, I would be worried about him. For me, he can wear whatever he likes. He can go in a Barney suit, as far as I'm concerned. But I would worry about the reaction of other children, as you say, John, in the playground. I think if everybody wears tracksuits or trousers, grand, no problem, because, you know, then, you know, girls are used to wearing trousers. But for a little boy to turn up in a skirt, if he wanted to, I foresee a problem with that going down the tracks.
Right. So is that part of the education process, or?
No, it's part of children being nasty
being
in playgrounds.
Yeah, do you think that's an issue?
I mean, the education process has been dealt with because they are embracing this thing. But it's children, and the way children will react to it is where you're going to find the problem.
Becky, in St. Bridget, it was the children themselves that suggested it to the faculty teachers.
And I think that's it. And I think John made the point that it was the, you know, it's the school community that came to the decision in St. Bridget's, which is fantastic. So all parties, if you like, involved were happy. And the fact that it came from the students is absolutely fantastic. I think that is huge.
Tina's right, though, isn't it? Because, you know, in certain instances, children can be very cruel.
Children can be very cruel, but I also think it's interesting that children can also be very open. And I think a lot of those biases or whatever else are grown into. They're not there at the start very often as well. So look, there's a bit of everything. There's certainly an education piece around it. I think in the case, obviously, as we've all said, that look, women wear trousers anyway. So girls wearing trousers in a uniform happens all the time anyway, and so isn't an issue. So really what we're talking about here is boys wearing skirts. And I think that, as you said, Declan, if it's a child who is identifying as a woman, whatever their birth situation is, that, you know, they're going full into that role, and so that is going to be their role throughout. It's not just that they fancy wearing a skirt today, it's that they are identifying as a woman, and they may wear trousers, they may wear a skirt, they may, you know, whatever. And I think that needs to be facilitated from that point of view. But there is the bullying factor. But I think that if you're going down that path where you're looking at reassigning a gender to yourself, or your child is looking at that, that's going to be a part of the course, that there is going to be, it is going to be a difficult path.
Well, maybe we're in transition with the whole subject as well, and it's good to see that there is confidence amongst people who are looking for to express their identity, that they could have a safe place, actually.
I think that's really important. And I do think that it's driven in St. Bridget's case by the students, I think, is huge. And I think it's fantastic to hear, for them to have that confidence as a student body, and to put it forward, and for it to be responded to and listened to. I think it's saying a lot for the school. It's fantastic.
It's the morning show at East Coast. It is the 11:05. We're having a look at various topics which are in the news. Here's one here. And it's, I suppose, leads on from what we were talking about shaming people or bullying people. We've heard of shaming people online for many reasons, but parents are also at it. Even though they tell their children maybe shaming people is bad or bullying people online is bad. We're talking about Meghan Markle. She's the latest person to be parent-shamed or mum-shamed. Meghan and Archie went along to a charity polo competition that Prince Harry was taking part in. Pictures of the afternoon actually appeared online, and trolling began. People were quick to comment on the way Meghan chose to hold her infant son. Meghan looks like she's about to drop him, commented one Instagram user. And you know the sort of comments. So, Tina, what about this then?
That's rubbish. Everybody can hold their baby whatever way they like. You know, these are just people that have nothing better to do. She was at a polo match. She was dressed up to the nines, probably in high heels, probably not the easiest way to display her. This was its first outing, I think, first public outing. So she was probably very aware that, you know, that his picture was being taken left, right and centre. I, you know, for anyone to make a comment, unless the child is being abused in any way, but this child is very much loved, and it's nobody's business. They should mind their own business.
Yeah, and there was a comment here, Meghan doesn't know how to carry her own baby. Such a shame. Do you think this is more about Meghan than it is?
Yes,
about,
I think it is. I think a lot of people
don't like her.
Yes, a lot of people don't like her. A lot of people, their noses are very put out of joint that one of the royal family married her. And yeah, it's nothing to do with the way she holds. So, you know, holding a baby, it didn't fall. It was fine.
Right, exactly. John, Michael Jackson got into a lot of problems about this years ago when he was holding up his child on a balcony one time.
Yeah, we all remember that.
But Meghan wasn't doing anything like that. She was just being Meghan, a mum, with her son.
Yeah, that, as we know, Michael Jackson led quite a bizarre public life. But parenting is difficult. There's no handbook to be a parent. My child is four. I make mistakes every week parenting. I've no doubt about it. But you try your best. And obviously, I agree with you 100%. I think this is more about Meghan than it is about the incident. There seems to be a genuine nasty campaign against her online. Unfortunately, the online social media thing has now developed into a kind of a sense where people use it for very good things, and then there's a group of people, a minority group of people, who will literally say nasty things about everybody every day. And it is growing. It is affecting people. Something is going to have to be done about it. I think the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that cannot just walk away from it and say, oh, well, we're just a platform, we're not a publisher. Like, you have a responsibility here today to kind of, you know, keep an eye on us, make sure we don't say anything outrageous or hurtful to people.
Oh, dear. And that's very disappointing.
Sorry, Tina.
within reason. But these platforms seem to say, oh, well, you know, people are entitled to free speech. And while I'm a big believer in free speech, you know, my mother used to say, if you have nothing good to say about somebody, don't say it.
And Becky, a lot of these trawling Twitter accounts are anonymous. They have made up names. The ones I see usually have a big Irish flag or something, and people don't like immigrants, and they don't like Muslims, and don't like climate change, and they don't like, you know, various things. And they all have about 93 followers with a made-up name and a funny picture, you know. And a lot of people like that are the people who are slagging off Meghan in a different context in the UK.
I think that there are two sides of this. One is absolutely that social media, anonymous trolling social media phenomenon that is happening in all walks of life and for everyone. And it's very difficult. And from, you know, that they're hiding, what are they, pen warriors, and they're hiding behind their anonymous. But it's yeah, it's difficult, and it's just a hate agenda, and it serves no one any good. I think that in this particular case, I would agree that I think Meghan is being targeted in that sense, in this hate sense. But I think it's also interesting in terms of just parent shaming and parent judgment of parenting. There is a humongous amount of it out there, and I think that the vast majority of parents, there's always the exception, but the vast majority of parents do the best for their children. I think hopefully all of us at this table would fall into that category. And, you know, none of us get it perfect. You know, none of us started out with being trained for it or anything like that. But I think you have to learn as you go. And I think there is a parenting instinct. And as long as you care and you do your best, I think that's all that matters. And, you know, it goes into all sorts of things like the whole breastfeeding debate. And there's a great word, you know, obviously we think, you know, all the benefits of that, but fed is best, you know, not anything else. So it's those type of things, and it can get really heated. And I think I always say to new moms, it's look, trust your instinct, and
very much,
and that's the only thing, that's the only bit of advice you should listen to, because actually that's it. And
the mothering instinct is there, and protection is there, and I can't imagine there's a right or wrong way to hold the baby as long. I think
they're being held.
The mother would be fighting if anybody comes quite close to jeopardizing.
Absolutely. You know? This is also the danger of this is that, like, particularly for first time mothers, and it's such a difficult emotional time. And, you know, they're worrying about everything, and are we getting it right? And maybe there's a return to work, and there's all that separation anxiety setting in. And then somebody is criticizing you about being a parent. Like, it's a very low thing to do.
Do you know, too much emphasis is put on getting everything so right. Remember, way back in the day, you brought it home. Well, you had it at home, and you put it in the bottom drawer of the dresser. Now everything, you know, it's so overthought that it's brain damage.
Usually on the first one. The second one fends for itself.
The first one brings up the second
exactly.
one.
Anyway, with us this morning on the 11:05 is Tina Koumarianis from Rathdrum, and the Elaine Show on Virgin Media. Becky Harrison from Food at Fisher's, and Fianna Foyle, councillor in West Wicklow, John Mullen. We'll talk about electric cars in a second.
Have your say. Call the Morning Show hotline. 0818 303 103. East
Coast FM. You could follow the herd. Or you could drive a Jeep. Drive the Jeep Renegade from €288 a month with 4.9% APR at John Lennon Motors, Wicklow. PCP finance provided by First Auto Finance, Ireland Limited. Jeep Renegade Sport, ROTR. Price €24,545. Minimum deposit €7,354. Total cost of credit €1,768. 36 monthly installments. Lending criteria and T's and C's apply. See jeep.ie for more information.
Friends, food, fun, and all the big sporting events live. It's all happening at Phil's in the heart of Wicklow Town. Head straight upstairs at Phil's for cocktails and some chill time. Catch all the summer sports on the multiple TV screens in Phil's Bar. And now introducing our new food menu, served every night except Sundays to 10 p.m. Try Phil's own homemade burgers, fish specials, and our delicious desserts. Come visit us at Phil's in the heart of Wicklow Town tonight.
Are you tired of being told about the economic recovery, but still not seeing it personally? Hi, I'm John Kenny, and I'm a personal insolvency practitioner, fully licensed to help you with your debt problems. If you're struggling to pay bills, call me at Providence Insolvency Practitioners in Wicklow, and we'll make a start. Writing off mortgage debt, fixing realistic payments, and getting your finances back under control. Google Providence Forensic. You start with a call. I'll take it from there.
John Kenny is authorised to practice as a PIP by the Insolvency Service of Ireland.
The Duck Restaurant at Marlfield House in Goree offers delicious food and a famously friendly welcoming service. Enjoy a midweek two-course lunch or early bird dinner sitting on the sun-drenched terrace overlooking the kitchen and rose garden for €26. Or a movie night for €35, including cinema ticket and dinner. 2 minutes from the N11 and with lots of parking, it's the perfect place to meet up with friends this summer. For more, simply Google Marlfield House or the Duck Restaurant Goree.
Have your say. Call the Morning Show Hotline. 0818 303 103.
Friday, the 11:05, I'm joined by Tina Koumarianis, also by Becky Harrison and John Mullen. We're looking at various issues. We're talking about electric cars in a second, but a couple of texts here that says, Tina is absolutely right. Let children be children. Life is hard enough to bring these notions into children's heads, and it's some parents are wrecking their children's heads with their ideas, sort of thing. And more text actually on the same theme. They're too young to be making their decisions as regards what they are. Leave them be for the moment. Well, there you go. We'll see. On to electric cars. And Darren Darker, we know Darren, he's involved, I think, in writing books even around Bray. He says, electric cars are the future, but they aren't there yet. Hybrids are the stopgap. Well, our reporter Dan went onto the streets of Bray to hear about attitudes to electric cars.
The cost of them at the moment, and also I understand that the range isn't great, and then I've heard that the charging points are quite far apart. You might get to one, there's somebody already on it, you've got to wait a couple of hours to get on, and then where there are multiple points, very often a lot of them are out of service.
Because I don't believe that electric is the future. I think there will be an alternative source, possibly hydro, that will be the clean fuel of the future.
I don't know much about them, that's the bottom line, as you know, so petrol at the moment.
With the amount of pollution in our cities today, I think going with electric cars is the way to go, if they have enough points to service the cars.
Well, in Wicklow, we've bought more electric cars than anybody else in the country. Guess what we don't have, though? Charging points. There's a good one for you. Now, I don't know about if the council, John, have any input into all that sort of stuff. There's none in Greystones, and there's none around the N81. You can go from the square in Tallow down to Tullow in Carlow without an EV charging point.
I left Tinnahealy this morning. I had to go to Ballinglass before I came here, so I drove from Tinnahealy to Ballinglass, up the N81 into Tallow, onto the M50, and around here to Bray to get the studios. No electric charging points in West Wicklow at all. Wicklow, I'm delighted to see Wicklow is so ahead of the population as regards electric charge. I'd imagine they're all in Bray and Greystones in North Wicklow. I'd imagine so, because there's nowhere else to charge them anywhere. Very few places.
None in Greystones.
And the council itself is installing electric charge points in its own facility in the next over the coming months. So that's a positive thing. The one thing I think that's the obvious, if you're further south of Wicklow or west of Wicklow, you go, is the range. The range issue. If you're commuting, traffic on the N81 or the M11 is still very congested. Schools are out at the moment. It's not so bad, but when they come back in September, into November morning, and you're on your way to work, you're spending 4 hours a day in a car. Do you have the range to get from Tinnahealy or from Dunlavin around Wicklow?
You've seen the battery meter going down. It's like your mobile phone.
Absolutely.
Oh, I need a charger.
And that's the practical reality of it. Also, the amount of commercial vans, I don't know if there's electric commercial vans. I don't think so. Hybrid, I think, is the practical step at the moment. I think it's a rapidly changing market. The car industry is going to have to change where electricity comes from. Like, what's the point in having an electric car if it's going to come from a peak fuel station? So, in one sense, we have to get practical and we have to get real about electric cars. It is good to see electric cars sales going through the roof.
But it's early days. Tina, would you drive one or have you got one?
No, I haven't got one. I've got a diesel because I was told to buy a diesel and not petrol because it was the way to go.
That's right.
A few years ago.
Before all the car companies were lying.
Correct.
At the time.
Well, somebody was lying and I did what I was told and now I've been told that I'm doing exactly the wrong thing. I wouldn't dream of buying an electric car. I do way too big a mileage. My nerves would be shot looking, as you say, like the mobile phone for the thing to break down. Also, you know, they're not taking into account the forests that have been damaged with people having to mine for lithium. And lithium batteries are not recyclable. They're not recyclable.
And there's a finite amount of lithium in the world.
Exactly, yeah. There is. And, I mean, a lot of forestation is being wrecked by it. Now, in the past, they tried magnets, which worked really, really well. But, of course, there's no financial gain in that. I mean, the minute you take your foot off the pedal, the magnets separate and the car stops. This was tested years and years ago and it was absolutely knocked on the head. So, no, I would not buy an electric car. A hybrid, yes, I'd be interested in that, but I certainly wouldn't trust an electric.
Becky Harrison?
I suppose similarly, I think it's fantastic the development that has happened, and I do think, despite the current issue with lithium and the battery side of it, which I absolutely agree with, and it's going to cause its own problems in terms of limited supply. I think it's great to see the developments. I do, again, for me at the moment, it is not practical. My mileage is too high. I'm obviously based in Newtownabbey and Kennedy. There are charging points in North Wicklow, and I think if you have a car, you'd have one at home. But I travel down to Kerry quite a lot. I'm on the road quite a lot, and it's just not practical. I'm also not organised enough, so that if I have to factor in another half an hour charge halfway through my trip, I'm never on time enough to do that.
One of the Vox Pop people said there that hydro might be the future. They're testing at the moment in the UK a train running on hydrogen.
Excellent.
And the only byproduct seemingly is water. Now, yes. I don't know what goes into the manufacture of all that, but water is the only byproduct. Product. So that's it.
Sorry.
Anyway, let's move on to the top story of the day. And that is Love Island and how we're doing and how is Maura Higgins doing? Nobody jumping at that one, I can tell you. Tina, that would be a sort of a program you'd sit down of an evening now between 9 and 10 and watch Love Island.
Are you out of your mind when I got the topics? I sat down and I watched two episodes of that horrendous show last night. For a start, I couldn't understand 70% of what these bimbos were saying. I had to do a thing on Virgin Media and watch Jeremy Kyle. And to me, it's like the Jeremy Kyle show. I couldn't understand what they were saying either, except instead of beating each other up, this lot, it seems like one big knocking shop is all it is. Back in the day, you know, one came in last night. I'm 26 and I'm come here to find a husband, for God's sake. I mean, and to look at them all, they are covered in oil, the blokes and the women. There's hardly any clothes on. There's just loads of shots of them in bed. I mean, it's the most insane, ridiculous soft porn programme I've watched in a long time. Midnight, I thought, right, I've done my bit for East Coast Brady. I'm not watching any more of this rubbish.
Parents used to hate the Rolling Stones and even hated the Beatles and things. So it's a generational...
No, it's not a generational thing. They wrote music, great music. We're still talking about it today. This lot, God help them, when they finish on this programme, I don't know what the hell is going to become of them because they won't be able to cope.
Is it your style of programme, John?
I have to admit, when I saw the topic on the briefing note that your producer sent to me, I went, oh my God, no. And I read, and I decided whether I'd watch it, and I said, couldn't bring myself to watch it. I just couldn't. I remember the original Big Brother, so this is kind of like the next generation's
on
version
speed,
of Big Brother. And so, like, I was addicted to that when it came out. It is harmless trash television for all you can say about it. My sister's addicted to it. I don't know whether she would want me to publicly say that. But if that's what your hour or 2 hours of television is, after a stressful day at work, so be it. It is not reality. I know we call these things reality television. Reality is far different from that. But like I said, it's harmless.
And it's not for you.
Well, I don't think, to interrupt you, Becky, but I don't think it is harmless, because I watched one of those blokes last night telling one of the girls, you are it. I am not interested. Even if anyone else walks through that door, I don't want anyone else. And a couple of days later, two other birds walk in the door and he's saying exactly the same thing. And the other one is crying. So, I mean, it's messing with their heads.
Right, okay. Basically. I'm sure they'd be happy with the description of birds as well. Can I talk to Becky about this? Because your Network Ireland and all that, we've heard that Maura Higgins is a feminist icon, and she says it like it is, and she's doing a lot for women. I'm reading various articles.
I heard a piece about it as well. I have to admit that I'm also not a watcher, so you've a useless panel in terms of this discussion today, so apologies for that, first of all. But I don't have a problem with it. I think that it is, I think people are watching it for a bit of light entertainment and to get away from their own reality, because it's not reality.
No.
So it is just something to escape, if you like, a bit of escapism. There are beautiful people on it, and look, don't we all like looking at beautiful people?
Well, okay.
So, there is
another level, I think. I'll throw in my... I'm not supposed to be contributing, but I think on a different level, they're very clever in human relations. I think they're...
Yeah, well,
that's the game, rather than the surface game, as it appears. I think they're calculating in the way they... manipulative in the way they actually want to achieve their aim.
And that's coming back to your question to me about Maura, and that she's doing a lot for feminism. She's a feminist, and how can she be a feminist if she's flaunting around half naked? But she can be. She has the confidence to do that. And I think a lot of it is about is about building confidence and encouraging or allowing or having the confidence to ask what you want and not to be afraid to go after your goal. Okay, in this case, it's snogging a bloke or more. But it's true. So and I think Maura's case last week, I think she was called out because positively, because some guy was not treating her very well, and she said, well, I'm not having that, go away now please, and probably all sorts of different more flowery language, but she was standing up for herself and not taking the nonsense from him.
Very good. Let's leave Love Island then. Okay. And just finally this morning, John, I know that you want to mention the passing of Noel Whelan, and Noel's a great guest on the program here too, and enjoyed his what he had to say. You knew him, did you?
Yeah, we're very close friends, and he was always a help to me, and I was a help to him. We come from the same political background. We wrote books together on, like, 20 years ago. In 1999, we wrote our first book together, The Tallyman's Guide to the Local and European Elections. And we did a second one in 2002. He had a first class intelligence. He was extremely sharp, and sometimes that can make somebody abrasive, but in Noel's case, he had a sharpness but a warmth that came from his rural Wexford roots. So he could argue a topic without insulting anyone. He could listen to a person whose views he would fundamentally disagree with, but he would listen to them and try and find the areas where they would agree. He, at 50, it's such a loss to his family, Sinead, and to Seamus. It is just a desperate tragedy, I think, for the country. It is a desperate tragedy because there are only a few sharp intellects and minds out there. I think his example should be listened to as how to engage publicly, how to be interested in what happens in your country, and be determined to try and do the little bit that you can to make Ireland a better place. And he definitely did that.
Thanks, John. A very fitting tribute to a great man, and that is Noel Whelan. And that's it from the 11:05 for this week. Thank you to Fianna Fáil councillor there in West Wicklow, John Mullen. Also, we heard Becky Harrison from Network Ireland and Footed Fishers, and Tina Coo Marianis from Rathdrum, who'll be on the telly soon. Is that right?
Every Monday, 3 o'clock on the Agony Ant on Virgin Media now. So you can tell me your problems.
Well, I'll refer Maura Higgins to you when she comes out of the Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in.